when things mount or fears come into my life or the lies that try to come into my mind, Jesus will never relax his hold upon his sheep. Do you understand? You're going to make it because he has you. He has you, and he will never leave you, not ever. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, good day and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, A Hands-On Knowledge, from the New Testament Epistle of 2 Peter. Let's join in the study.
He is working in you. If you're saved, he's working in you right this minute. Ephesians 3:20, God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working within us, working in you right this minute. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12, 13, 14, right in there. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your own salvation, you're saved. Work it out with fear and trembling. Why? Well, because God is working in you to fulfill his own purpose and his good pleasure. Amen? He's working in you right now. Do you believe that? Are you conscious of that? Is that a hands-on knowledge? Right this very minute, there are hands of God. They're working in my life, in my heart. He's forming me and molding me into Christ's image. Amen? And that's exactly what's happening. Now listen, all things, it says, that pertain to godliness. That means this, thank God it's been given to us because we can't live the Christian life without that. It had to be given to us, amen? Oh, there's no way. Listen, and the reason we can do that is because Jesus is in us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus, what did he say in John 15:5? You can do nothing without me. So, boy, he's working in us. So, would you say that God, when you think about life in general, godliness, would you say that God has given us everything we need in our first birth? Huh? I mean, when you were born, not born again, your first birth. I mean, when you were born, my granddaughter Willa, she was just born. Not just, but you know what I mean. Well, when she was born, she didn't have any hair. I was going, where's the hair? You know, and where's her teeth? She didn't have any teeth. Now she has two. Well, but did she have all things? She has all things. Was she born talking? No, screaming. Of course, when she saw me, she smiled. Now, is she walking? No. Is she crawling? Nearly. Here's the thing. See, in her, God has already given her everything she needs to mature. Okay, now, in our new birth, God has given unto you, unto me, everything, I mean absolutely everything that we need has been already given to us to grow in Christ-likeness. We have everything that we need, loved one. All the divine power has been given unto us to grow in Christ-likeness. The Spirit of truth, does he live in us? Yes, he does. He's working in us right now. We have the divine helper. We have the grace of God, the Bible. Now listen, 2 Peter, as we're going to learn, is concerned about false teachers, okay? Now, we have to beware of false teachers, not only then, but right now, especially those who teach you the doctrine of you need more. Well, that's so prevalent today, but it was also prevalent then. Now listen to me, fact, you don't need anything else. If you will believe what that word just said, that God has already given unto you everything that is needed for life and godliness. If you believe that, man, you are walking on water right now, okay? And because, listen, you don't need more. You know why? Like I just said, you've already been given everything that you need. I hear it all the time. I need a new this or a new doctrine or a new teaching or I need a new look. I can buy that one. But you know what I'm saying? I need to go to a new conference. I need a new counselor. No. You have everything you need if you would only believe it. You have everything you need. We don't need another new book. We need to stop looking for other things and look only to him, the author, the finisher of our faith. Listen, you don't need anything. Can I prove it to you by the Word of God? Let me give you the scripture, Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness, the pleroma, if you will, of the Godhead bodily. In other words, all that God is, Jesus is. Amen? Jesus is the God-man. He is the exhaustion of God, if you will. He says, and here it comes, and you are, that's right this minute, Christian, you are complete in him. The word complete, pleru, means filled to the brim. There's not any room for anything else. You are already complete. You don't have to add one thing. You just have to do what the Word of God says to do. And he says, you are complete in him who's ahead of all principality and power. One more. John 1:16. And of his fullness, Jesus' fullness, we have all received. Well, if you've received his fullness, that's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? You don't need anything else. You need to use what you already have. And that's what the Bible is saying. Now listen, there are false teachers then, we're going to learn, and there's false teachers even right this very minute. They're offering to complete you. I can complete you. I know what you need. I can see it. Matter of fact, I just got it. Yeah, okay. Come on. Oh, yeah. No, you know, and so, but you know what? It is Christ alone who offers completeness. We're complete. Everything we need for life, God, we have it right this minute, loved one. Listen, you're not only complete, you're completely complete. You're completely saved. You're completely forgiven. Amen? You're completely loved, and you have complete acceptance before God our Father. Amen? You don't need any more. You have everything that you need. Listen, Jesus, did he die on the cross? Was that a real death? Yes, it was, and he died for you and me. Well, listen, was there a real transfer of sin on the cross from our sin to him? Yes. That means he died for the sins of the world, he died for our sins. It means also this, loved one. It means that we received a real imputed righteousness. See, the great doctrine of justification, just as if we had never sinned. Again, I just mentioned it earlier, you know, that we now have to our account, not because of anything we've done, only because we trusted in Christ as our Savior, we have his perfect, spotless, sinless record now imputed to our account. And when God sees you, he sees you completely perfect. That is our position, not our practice. Amen? You're seated in the heavenlies right now, it says in Ephesians, as God says, you're already up there. So, man, I tell you, that's believing the Word of God. So he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and all you have to do is believe it. That's called faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just, the Christian, those who are justified, shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:33, I believe it is. It says, through faith inherited the promises. That's the only way you can do it. There is absolutely no other way. All things, loved one. You know, have you ever just gone through the Bible and studied out scriptures about all things? Let me just give you a few. Psalm 57:2, I will cry out to God Most High, who performs or brings to completion, who performs all things for me. Do you believe that word? He's taking care of us, all things. Listen, God's not just working in you, he's working for you. Amen? Right this very minute, do you trust the one whom no one can hinder? I do. Romans 8:28, we know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how not with him freely give us all things. A scripture that every Christian knows, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. That means that Jesus is all we need. It means that God is looking for a church, a Christian that will say, yes, I believe that word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The emphasis is not on I can. The emphasis is on the one who strengthens us. Amen? It's not about you. It's about Jesus, loved one. Now listen, if you say, well, Bill, I really want to live like that. Well, then look at verse 4. We have to nourish our faith. As his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, a past fact, present reality, a permanent reality. And the reason, how did it come? Through the knowledge, the hands-on knowledge, if you will, of Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, meaning the children of God, have been given to us, again, a permanent possession, exceedingly great. That word means exceedingly great. You can't even imagine the dimension because it's exhaustless. It says exceedingly great and precious promises. Why? That through these precious promises, that you may be partakers of the divine nature, meaning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, the new birth, the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, that's only used here in the New Testament, by the way, it implies a completed act, escape from what? What did we completely escape from? Look at the next word, that moral decay, that filth, that rottenness, the corruption that is in the what? In the world that we live in through lust or through those perverted desires. So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Where are these exceedingly great and precious promises that come from our great God? Where are they found? That's not the one I want. No, they are to be found in your renewed mind. Amen? We know that they're here, but what good is it going to be here if they're not in here and here? Amen? So they're to be in a renewed mind. What does it say, Romans 12:2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? You are a student of the Word of God. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament, ever given to a church. It was given to a crummy church, okay? I mean, a church that was drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were sowing discord. They were divided. They were divorcing one another. Man, it was horrible. The church at Corinth, he gave one of the greatest scriptures. Let me read it to you. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all, not some, loved one, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God, not just anyone, not a parent or a best friend or whatnot, all the promises of God in him, meaning in Jesus, are yes. And in him, in Jesus, amen. That word means amen is certain, immutable, unchangeable, to the glory of God through us. How in the world is it today that we doubt the Word of God? We have to fight, don't we? When we're going through it, pain is real. You feel it. Sickness is real. You feel it. But God's Word, you can feel it too. It's alive. It's living. And we have to let it be alive in us. Listen, don't doubt the Word of God. Why? Everything I know in my life changes. I've seen so many cultural changes over the time I've been alive in this nation. It's unbelievable. Nothing is stationary, okay? Nothing remains the same. But God does. God never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. Not only that, God can't lie. God cannot lie. Listen, he can't do that. God's promises are precious, meaning they are priceless. They're invaluable. Why? Because God cannot lie. You can say, oh, that is perfect truth. That's perfect, perfect, perfect truth. You mean I can just believe it? Yes, God doesn't lie. He's not a Democrat. Come on. Democrat or Republican. I'm going to have to wet my whistle. I don't know where that came from. Maybe that was a word of prophecy. George Mueller, a great man of God, he has a book years ago, of course, that's in the 1800s, but it was called The Book of God's Promises. And if you've ever read that book, and he has all the promises that in the Bible, or most of them, but he says that there are approximately 30,000 promises from God in the Bible. Golly, you're talking about, I mean, the measure, they're so vast, it's unbelievable. Do you believe God's word and promises? How about when you sin? We don't want to sin, but we all sin. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? It says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful We're not faithful. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? See, do you believe that promise? Well, then, if you do, then if your sin is, if you know it's, you've confessed and it's forgiven, why is it tormenting you? You see, it's forgiven. You believe God's word. Well, it shouldn't be tormenting you, but yeah, but God knows about it. No, He knows about it, but He doesn't think about it. Hebrews 10:17. He's forgotten your sins. He remembers our sin no more. How about this one? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you are in Christ Jesus, Bill, I'm failing right now, though. Well, you know what? Sometimes we do fail. Sometimes Christians go to the pig pen. They shouldn't go to the pig pen, but they can't stay there. Do you understand? We're not a pig, okay? We're Christians. But the fact of the matter is that Ephesians 1:6 is a promise. We are now accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. That's Jesus. That means that God loves you just as much as He loves Jesus, His Son. God has accepted you. Listen, there are people that don't even like me, but God says, I've accepted Bill. Do you understand the power of believing God's word? Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, hey, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you believe that He's with us right now? He is with us right this minute. God is here. Do you believe it? Like Jesus promised us in John 14, verses 1 through 3 and 4, right in that area. He says, listen, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He says, I'm going to come back to where I am. You may be also. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't fall apart. Believe me. We have a home. This is not our home. Amen? We need to grasp those things. What did Jesus tell the Jews in John chapter 8 in verse 31, which leads to my life scripture, which I dearly love and hold? He told the Jews that believed, He says, you're my disciples indeed if you abide in my word. And He says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you a slave. The truth will make you free. See, the promises of God, the promises of God. Didn't Jesus tell us to ask and to seek and all those things? Those are promises, loved one. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. It will be done for you. John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I'll never, by no means, ever cast away. How about this scripture? I've quoted this scripture probably 100 times over the last 30 some odd plus years here. And it's a verse that I read nearly daily. And you would think that the older you get, the stronger you are. You never stop growing in Christ. And I need what I'm about to read to you every moment of my life and every day. And so do you. These are promises from God that I hold dearly from the Amplified Version. And I've read them to you many times before in Hebrews 13:5, where it says this, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. That's a hard one, isn't it? Why am I going through this? Oh, Lord, look at the circumstances. Means the things that are surrounding you in life. He says, be satisfied with them. And He tells us why. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. It's emphatic in the Greek. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not. So you take comfort, you be encouraged, confidently, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? Every day I have to look to that. Every day. When things mount or fears come into my life or the lies that try to come into my mind, Jesus will never relax His hold upon His sheep. Do you understand? You're going to make it because He has you. He has you. He has you, and He will never leave you, not ever. Amen? That is the word of God. How about the promise, the prayer when we pray? What did Jesus tell us in Luke's Gospel 11:9? Jesus said, I say to you, ask. Mean pray. Why? Well, it'll be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone, meaning believers, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him a knocks, the door will be opened. Do you believe that? Did you know that those are imperatives or commands? Present imperative tenses, meaning you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking, and that's how you get what you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All, not a few. All these things will be added unto you, meaning all the things that you need in life. It may not be what you think you need, but it'll be exactly what you need because God never makes a mistake. But you have to believe the word of God. He goes on down to the end. Jesus said, and how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Oh, to be filled every day. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye, is imperative in the Greek, command, be ye being filled, praying in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, worshiping with understanding, singing with understanding, amen? To be in the Spirit. Oh, that's what we need. We need to have the Spirit structure, not Calvary structure, meaning four songs and an offering, you know. Maybe God wants to have five songs. Maybe God wants to say, no, we're going to learn, but why want us to pray? Do you understand that being open to the Spirit of God where it agrees with His Word, that's important. That's proper conduct. Now look at it again, verse 4, and let's wrap this up. Which have been given to us, meaning Christians, exceedingly great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, I want to say something to you, and please don't take this the wrong way. I really believe today, when it says partakers of His divine nature, I think that we are so over the top familiar with those words that it goes right over our heads. Listen, I mean, I look at myself in the mirror, and I don't know, I mean, hello, but to look at myself in the mirror and say, Bill, you share right now in the divine nature of God. I mean, how do I comprehend that? I mean, loved one, listen to me. How do we know that He does live in us? If Jesus lives in you, you're going to change. Amen? Yeah, listen to me. No fruit in your life means there's no root. Okay? If you're not changing, there's something wrong. See, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if you're a new creation in Christ, new, brand new, never before existed, new creation, all things have passed away. You're no longer in Adam, amen? You're out of the Adam's family, thank God. Right, come on. And all things become new. If all things are not becoming new, then maybe you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to church, you're not in prayer, you're not, well, you don't have any hands-on knowledge, which God wants you to have. Hands-on knowledge, following Him, expecting Him to do the absolute impossible. Every Christian has to feed His new nature. That's the only way, loved one. And listen, think about it. We've escaped the corruption that's in this world. Paul uses that same word. I think it's over in 1 Corinthians 15. It's talking about a dead corpse. The world that we live in is a dead corpse in a way. Amen? It's ruined, loved one. We live on a doomed planet in countdown. In countdown. We don't know. It could be over today. We could be gone. Amen? We just don't know. We live just like it was in the days of Noah. Did you think that Noah had experiential knowledge? Did he hear the Word of God and do the Word of God? Yes. What did it say? It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things, what? Not seen, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the entire world. In other words, by believing God, Noah proved, put every person in the world except his family in the wrong by faith. You see, he went out and he says, okay, what's an ark? I don't know what it is. The Lord said, well, here's the plans, Noah. Okay, gets his boys. We're going to have to build an ark out of gopher wood. Let's go get a little bit of this asphalt. We're going to patch it up, all this stuff we're going to do. Think about that. I mean, would you call that hands-on? And what he built saved his family, took him from the old world to the new world. That's what happens when a person is born again. Is everybody born again this morning? Listen, if you're not, listen to me now. But see what you can do. You can leave one world and enter another world. You can be delivered, it says in Colossians 1:30, from the power of darkness and translated, conveyed over, in other words, a divine deportation. You will be deported out of the world of darkness and transferred over into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Pastor's study in 2 Peter continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we hope to see you once again. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the program today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.